serving the Lord with your life. Doesn't matter what your title is. We're privileged to have the title of missionaries, but we couldn't do what we do without the prayers of God's people. I praise the Lord that God teaches in His Word there are no unimportant churches. Every church is important, no matter the size. And God died for His church. The Bible says He loved His church and He gave His life for it. And I praise the Lord for this local church. It's a church that Jesus loves. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the heart of this church for missions. And thank you so much for allowing us to come today. It has been a tremendous blessing. God is doing some great things on your behalf. And the souls that have been saved have been added to your account according to the Apostle Paul and the Word of God. And we're thankful for that. I praise the Lord that we are able to labor together. Had it not been for Charity Baptist Church and churches just like this, none of what we've seen in Central America would exist. We wouldn't see churches started. We wouldn't have seen a Bible college. We wouldn't have seen any of that. But because churches like this one with a heart for missions exist, we can do what we do, and we're thankful for that. There are so many other things that I did not mention in the Sunday school hour that God is doing. It's just amazing. God has given us an open door of opportunity. You can watch Fox News and you can watch all the other news channels that are out there. And if you spend more than 4 or 5 minutes watching them, you will be very, very depressed. Very depressed. There is very little good news coming through our world news organizations. But that's why we have an independent Baptist local church that you can hear what God is doing from. God is not asleep. God has not lost control. God is sovereign. And I praise the Lord for that. And God is still working in the world today. God is still working. He wants to work here as well. Now, every field, if you've been in agriculture at all, you know, not every field produces the same amount. Not every field can produce the same things. There are places, like, I would highly doubt you could plant watermelon right now and have anything plant and grow here right now in Montana. Now, you could in Honduras, because right now watermelon season. But you can't here. Why? The atmosphere, Now, I praise the Lord that there are differences the same way spiritually. And please, I don't want you to feel like you're insignificant because God is doing things and it might not feel the same impact that we see in other places. But you know what? Had it not been for this church, we wouldn't be there. And I praise the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for your prayers. You never know what your prayers will do around the globe. We've been praying for years to be able to make an impact. We want to do something great for God. We want the Lord to be blessed and honored by what we do. And we've been praying for years that God would open some doors. God has opened some great doors there in Honduras and in Central America because of your prayers. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I praise the Lord for what God has done. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I sometimes have to ponder and remind myself of what God has done for me. If you don't realize what God has done for us, sometimes you become unthankful. We live in a generation that has forgotten from where we have come. We live in a generation that feels like they are owed something from society, where in previous generations everything had to be earned. None of our current generation ever have gone through a real true financial depression. In Honduras, many of the Hondurans know what it's like to live in poverty. When we have 65%, you would say, underemployment. That means they make less than a living wage. 65%. We have about 45% unemployment. That means 45% couldn't find a job. They want to work, but there's no jobs to be had. And so many times in countries that are developing, people know what it's like to be poor. People know that they don't have anything. And so many times in our Christian life, the Bible says that God hath, by his riches, he's offered the riches of his glory. Doesn't matter where we live in the world. Doesn't matter what nationality we have. If we are truly born again, we have access to the riches of God's glory. That's not financial riches. They're some of the most wealthy financial people in the world are the most miserable. You can have all the money that you want in life and still be miserable. But God wants to give us life. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is talking to the believers in Ephesus and trying to remind them of who they were in Christ and what Christ has done for them. We live in a land of people right now focused on self. We have the word selfie. Everybody's got these smartphones. Even 4 and 5 year olds know how to use them. I'm still learning how to use mine. But you see young people today, even in Honduras with the smartphones, they'll sit there and they'll act all, and they'll take selfies. They'll take pictures, not of the world around them, but of their own self. That kind of describes where we live today. We live in a world of selfies. We live in a world where everything is focused on me. People have no toleration if it encroaches on how we want to be treated. You know what? The Bible says we need to be careful and really view ourselves from our total history and view ourselves from God's viewpoint. You see, look, if you will, in our text in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This verse is teaching us that the purpose that God has given for our lives as believers is to one day be the trophies of his grace. One day we are going to reflect the reason, like trophies in a trophy case, of God's victories in our life. And we need to remember from where we came so that God could have the victory in our life. The Bible says that in the ages to come, you and I are going to be on display. You and I are going to be the prize exhibit of the grace of God. This ought to excite us. Because The Bible that we're reading today speaks about our spiritual biography. It's showing our life. The Bible here is telling us the purpose for why God even has us here. He wants to show us on the world stage of what God's grace can do. And he starts out by saying, first of all, what we were. What we were. Paul describes here what we were before we got saved. I want you to notice what Jesus says in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What were we before we got saved? What were we? We were dead. We were dead, the Bible says. Clearly. We were dead. We were dead before the Lord Jesus Christ got a hold of us. You know what a dead person needs? He doesn't need food. He doesn't need clothing. He needs life. What we needed prior to coming to Christ, we didn't need a new walk. We didn't need a new lifestyle. We didn't need new government. We needed Christ. We needed life. And if you're not a believer today, in God's estimation of your life, it doesn't matter if you have what you have in your bank account, doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, God, when He looks at your life, if you have not been saved, says you're nothing but dead. You're dead in your trespasses in sin. Death is not just the separation of the soul from the body. One day I will die. My soul will be separated from my body. But let me tell you, they can say, hey, Jason Tate died. Well, maybe technically, but I'm not dead. Because the Bible says, when I die, I will be present with Christ. I haven't died in that sense. I'll tell you, the Bible says in John 11, 26, for whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know what? If my life ceases when my soul separates from my body and I die, then the Lord will hire. Because those that trust in Christ, according to Jesus' own words, shall never die. My life doesn't cease when my soul departs this physical body. It begins. Paul even reminded the Philippian church in Philippians 1:23. The Bible says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul is saying, hey, I want to be with Him. Now, we call that death, but technically it's not. We're still alive. If you are a believer, the problem is if you're not a believer, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, that is a dangerous place to be in. You see, eternal life is not just living on this world forever. There are people in hell today that, if you will, they are alive. They have conscious thoughts. They have feelings. They can see. They have their senses are active. Now they're in torment. But that death is a separation from God Himself. They're separated. Eternal life is not living forever. Some people like to have eternal life. Friend, may I tell you that people in hell live forever. The Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life is not just living forever. Life is Jesus Christ Himself. And Paul says, hey, when this life down here is done, I will be with Jesus Christ, who is life. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. Life is in Christ. Life is not in Charity Baptist Church. The purpose of Charity Baptist Church is to exalt Christ, who is life. Jesus says, I am come that ye might have life. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It's not just simply the length of life that Jesus wants to give us, but the quality of life. Jesus doesn't want to just add years to your life. He wants to add life to your years. You know, it's more fun serving Jesus than it is serving the world. The world portrays it on television and radio as come and live, eat, drink, and die before tomorrow you die. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you an abundant life. But that only comes in Christ. You see, before knowing Christ, there's no really hope. There's no hope. What hope has the world without Christ? Billings has a pretty good sized population, but it's a great population of dead people. They're walking dead. They're breathing. Their brain waves are working. But the people are dead because they don't have the author of life with them. The Bible says that Christ is life. Some of the worst sinners that there might be some sinners that are worse than others, but all are sinners without Christ. And all that are without Christ, the Bible says, are dead. There are no degrees of death. There's degrees of being sinful, but there's no degrees. Once you're dead, you're dead. You look at the miracles. There are at least three times that Jesus, or that the Bible records that Jesus rose someone specifically from the dead. One had died minutes prior to his getting there. One had died a few hours prior to his arrival. And then there was Lazarus, who died 4 days prior to his arrival. Now, which one was more dead? All three. In all three instances, they were all dead. Didn't matter whether you were dead just minutes earlier, minutes died hours earlier, or died days earlier. They were all in the same state, dead. Dead is dead. And they were dead without Christ. But Jesus came on the scene and gave them life. Today, you and I, without Christ, we were dead. Now, if you know Christ as your Savior, now you are no longer dead. You are now alive. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, we were dead. Not only were we dead, the Bible says we were also of the devil. We were of the devil. Look at our text. He said, and you have ye quickened, which were dead in trespasses and sin, and in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who was the prince of the power of the air? Well, that's the devil, of course. The Bible says before, you and I, without Christ, we were dead, but we were also technically of the devil. We were slaves to our own appetites. Now, many of these dead folks talk about freedom. They talk about how much freedom they have. The deader a man is, the more he boasts about the freedom he does not have. They like to talk about free speech. They talk about free love. They talk about being free. But they don't want to surrender to Christ. But these people don't understand. The Bible says in John 8:34, and Jesus answered them saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is servant of sin. In other words, you're a slave. We talk about freedom. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Let me tell you this. Sin will enslave those that do sin. Sin will enslave it. The Bible says we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were slaves of the devil. The world says jump, and the dead person in his spiritual condition says how far? The whole time he's talking about being free. Many times those that boast of being about freedom have the least of it. Jesus Christ himself says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It's funny to me how many times in the world, I can't be a Christian, man. I'd have to make myself a slave of Christ. It's so boring. I've never had a boring moment serving Christ. I mean, it's exciting. There's nothing more exciting than serving the Lord. Nothing more exciting than representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord has allowed us to do so many things while we serve Him. I mean, you get to be involved in missions. You get to meet people from all across the world as missionaries. Missionaries to Africa, to Honduras. In Honduras, we've had missionaries to Colombia come through. We have missionaries to Nicaragua. All sorts of missionaries come and they share with us what God is doing across the globe. And then occasionally churches get a chance to take like missions trips and things, and you get to visit your missionaries. Or as a believer, you get to do things. You get to do things other people can't. I remember during the pandemic, you guys thought you had it bad here. We had it. It was bad. It was very, very bad in the pandemic. Because of the unknown, and we're a third world country, we have all these home remedies that don't work. And you ever heard? They have these medical remedies. If we've got this one guy, he will live and die by this home remedy. You guys ever cut onions and cried before? Hurt your eyes? This guy has a foolproof home remedy where you can cry less. What you do is you cut the top off the onion and you put it on your head, and you continue chopping your onion with that thing on your head. He's still bawling like a baby. But he claims it works. It's a home remedy. That's the kind of... So when this pandemic thing comes up, oh my word. They had us locked down. Everything shut down. Everything in Honduras. They put roadblocks throughout the city so you could only move around on certain days. I mean, you couldn't go to work, you couldn't go to church, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't even go to the grocery store when you wanted. If your digit, they did it by your driver's license. The last number in your driver's license would correspond to the day you were allowed to go to the grocery store. So if you had a 0 or 1, you could go Monday. If you had a 2 or 3, you could go Tuesday. If you're a 4 or 5, you could go Wednesday. And so and so on. In the beginning, it was just 1 digit per day. Then they upped it to 2 digits a day. In the beginning, you could only go to the grocery store or hardware store 1 day every 2 weeks. And they had roadblocks to enforce it. And there was nobody moving around Saturdays and Sundays. Absolutely prohibited. You had to stay home. It was ridiculous. Because of our relationship with the police, we were... How are we going to do this? We got people, low-income families that have zero income now. They can't be on the road. They can't go sell products. They can't do anything. What are we going to do? So we prayed about it. One Wednesday, we're preaching. We decided, you know what, we're going to talk to the commandant. Maybe he has an idea. What can we do as a church? I mean, they're letting us come on Wednesday to preach to them still, in spite of the regulations. And we talked to them, and we said, you know, we've got people that are hurting for food, they need help, they need to get to the hospital, and we're here to serve them as their pastors and their ministries, the deacons or whatever. How can we continue to help our people in our church and our community if we can't move around as the pastor or missionary? And they said, you know what, you guys as the church are essential to our community. So what you need to do is go and have ID badges made for your leaders. And I will tell our police, as long as you're wearing your church badge, we will not stop you. So during the pandemic, everybody's shut in their homes except us. We can travel around as long as we're wearing our badge. It says Bethlehem Baptist Church, church logo, and it has our name on it. We were allowed to move freely. We had one of our local pastors helping us deliver food baskets to a family that had no food. A health worker stopped him at one of these roadblocks, and she was all irate. Looked at the Pastor Pedro, By what authority are you out here? And he showed him the badge. I have a higher authority than you have, young lady. You see, not only does the commandant give me, but I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and do good works. She let him go through. You see, we have more freedom serving Christ than serving the world. And I praise the Lord for that freedom. God used that to give us a relationship with the police. One Wednesday early in the pandemic, they came up, one of the officers, Officer Cruz, came up to us and said, "Pastor Jason, what can we do? We're with this group. It's in the U.S. It's called DARE. You ever seen a police car with DARE on it? D-A-R-E? They're gang prevention. Their goal is to go to the adolescents of our communities and teach morality and virtue. Well, they came up to us in our country, we found out. Our U.S. government sponsors in the police the same group. They call it a different name. It's called GREAT, G-R-E-A-T. So you'll see throughout Honduras vans with police logo and then the word GREAT next to it. That is their version of DARE. They came up to us and they said, "Hey, we have for years worked being paid by the U.S. government to help prevent gangs. We now, because of the pandemic, can't get our resources to teach. Do you have anything that teaches on morality?" I said, "Yes, we sure do." He said, "Man, is there any way you can, we don't know how to teach what you have. Is there any way you can help us?" I said, "You know what? We have college students that have been professionally trained to deal with adolescents to teach morality." They said, "Can you get them back here?" I said, "We can try." So we snuck them back into the dorms. And then the police patrol car said, "Hey, why don't we do this? We'll meet you at the dorms and we will take you guys out and you guys can do the work and we will help you." So what they did was 2 to 3 times a week they would come in their police patrol cars to the church. We'd load up all the college kids into the church. We have a 1-ton truck. We put welded benches in the back and put a roof on it with a canopy. And so we're going down the road. Here's the college church bus, and here's the patrol car. They're going together to different villages in our community. The police, when everybody's on lockdown, pulls out all the kids from all the community. "Come, it's okay, bring the kids out. We'll keep them spaced apart." They put all the kids spaced out in a field. And then they would present our Bible college kids saying, "Hey, here are our Bible college kids from Bethlehem Baptist Church. They're here to share God's word with you." So we had vacation Bible school sponsored by our local police in various communities throughout the pandemic. We couldn't do services, but we were doing Bible clubs in different villages throughout our state. We saw hundreds of kids come to know Christ. They would come out and by the hundreds to hear the word of God taught. The police would bring their bounce houses. The police would bring the kids out, and then they would let us preach, no limits. We give them tracts, we give them the scriptures, and the Lord really blessed that. And people talk about, "Well, I can't be a Christian, it's too boring." Boring? That's not boring, that's exciting. Who else gets to go in a police car on purpose? Who else gets to go out when everybody's shut in their own houses, fear and trembling? We do. We're serving the King. And we have permission to do it. To this day, God has given us an open door with the police. You know, it's amazing what God is doing. We're not slaves. We're free. And I praise the Lord for the freedom that God provides. You know what we were without Christ? Man, that's boring. You go to the same job every day the rest of your life. For what? Nothing. No hope. What's going to happen after your life ends? There's no hope for that type of person. But a believer in Christ, not only do I have life, I have it more abundantly. God's not only added days to my years, He's given me life to my days. You know, it puts a smile on your face. No matter what's happening in the world around me, I have life. And I have freedom. And I can do things the world can't imagine doing. Thank you. because we're on the field and because God says, you know what, before you knew me, you were lost, you were dead, you were slaves to sin. The Bible says, thirdly, hey, you were depraved. The Bible says, among whom also, in verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Bible says, not only were you dead, no hope at all. Not only were you slaves and you were of the devil, but you were also slaves of your own passions. And you're depraved. You didn't think straight. Let me tell you, the world isn't thinking straight today. And it's not going to get any better. Before we knew Christ, that was our mindset. But with Christ, we're trophies to His glory. God says, I've saved you out of all that, not by your works, but by my grace. And it's His power that has transformed our lives to become what we are today. Too many believers today want to boast about things they had nothing to do with. You see, when we come into Christ's presence, there will be no boasting. You see, I'm not a self-made Christian. Like we have, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. No, I didn't. He lifted me up. He's the one that sent someone into my life to share the gospel with me. It was He that saved my wretched soul. It was He that provided life because He is life. He is the one that gave me an abundant life. He's the one that has given us opportunities to serve Him in different ways. He's the one that provides the joy that the world can't understand. He's the one that's given me peace at night to lay my head on my pillow and not fear what tomorrow may hold. Without that, there is only depravity. There is only slavery, and there's only death. What we are, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love. I am glad that the Lord stepped in with verse number 4 in Ephesians chapter 2, with where He says, but God. But God has changed all of that. You see, we were dead, we were of the devil, and we were depraved. But with Christ, we are resurrected. With Christ, we are raised up. The Bible says in verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says finally, not only all that, but the Bible says we are also rested. Read with me, if you will, verse number 6. He says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible here is talking about that rest that comes in Christ. You see, the religious world today, and the world, even atheists, they're trying to do the best they can. But let me tell you, the Bible says the best you can isn't good enough. Religion today tells us, hey, if you just act religious enough, if you go to enough services, if you do the right things, you can possibly earn God's favor. No, you can't. For as much work as you do, you can't. The true believer knows that you can rest. I don't have to fear tomorrow. Why? Because God's already saved me. He's already done the work. I can rest in knowing that the bill has been paid. I can rest in knowing He already abides in me. I can rest in knowing He is faithful and just to fulfill His word. I'm resurrected. I'm rested. What God is saying is, in God's eyes, in eternity's eyes, salvation's a done deal. It's already done. You can rest. You don't have to work. You don't have to build up a sweat. Well, maybe I'm not quite good enough. You know, none of us are good enough. Praise the Lord that Jesus Christ paid it all. And I trust, and if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, let me challenge you today. All those things that the Bible says we were before coming, that's what you are. Dead, of the devil, and depraved. But with Christ, wow. Resurrected, raised up, and rested. Do you know Christ today? Do you have a smile in your heart? Do you have joy in your life? Do you have life in your days? Only Christ can do that. Let's all stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Ephesians chapter number 2 is very clear. Paul is trying to encourage a group of believers in the book of Ephesus about what Christ has done for us. It's not about our works. It's not about us boasting about who we think we are and what we think we've done. We're actually supposed to be trophies of His grace, of His power. Maybe you're here today and you say, Mr. Jason, I have never taken that step to know Christ as my Savior. If my life were to end right now, I'm not sure I would spend eternity with Him. Would you pray for me? I don't have that security in my life. Would you pray for me today? Maybe, dear believer, you're here and you'd say, Brother Jason, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but sometimes I forget all that God has given for me. Brother Jason, would you pray for me that I'd be more thankful for what God has done? Maybe we need to do business with God and say, Lord, help us to be more thankful. Help us to recognize what you're doing. Help us to respond correctly.